From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. More people are leaving Juneau than arriving, not by the dozens, but by the hundreds each year because of the state budget cuts and dwindling state jobs. And there doesn't appear to be an end in sight. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
Saul Neely was an associate professor at the University of Alaska Southeast, teaching English, Indigenous Studies, and other humanities. Neely was also responsible for the Flying University, a program that introduced college coursework to inmates and inspired them to attend college after they got out of prison.
It was building, and it was working, and we were connecting across the state. I mean, we were on track to do some really incredible stuff that was backed by data from across different states, across different programs. The higher the education, the lower the recidivism.
Neely's 10-year-old daughter was an active and engaged student in Juneau, from Juneau jumpers and ice skating to testifying before the legislature on education funding and oil tax credits. But then, as the pandemic spread last June, Neely says they decided to leave Juneau. His family may be just one among hundreds. In 2015, Juneau's population peaked at more than 33,000 people. According to latest estimates from the State Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the number of people leaving Juneau then exceeded those who moved to town or who were born here. All totaled, Juneau's population declined by nearly 1,400 people since that high point. The state also lost population, but Juneau's loss is especially pronounced. Sarah Teal, an economist with the State Department of Labor, says the percentage of Juneau's lost population is almost double the state overall. One big reason is the loss of state jobs in the capital city.
Most likely it has to do with state budget cuts and then attrition, not filling jobs that somebody left.
Teal says they predict the trend will continue well into 2021. Neely says they left Juneau last summer after the governor's budget cuts, what he calls Dunleavy's death budget. Neely says everything, including the Flying University, was dismantled and destroyed. And even though he had tenure, Neely still worried about losing his job under a proposed consolidation of the University of Alaska system.
So I called it escape routes, just looking for escape routes.
He accepted a position at Heritage University, a private college in Washington State. Neely says he really misses Juneau, but he now has something he did not have before.
I do have a sense of job security right now. We do have family here, so that's nice.
Juneau Senator Jesse Keel is not surprised.
What we're seeing now is as tough as it's been in the 23, 24 years I've lived in Juneau.
With the possible exception of corrections, he says no state department in Juneau has been immune from job losses because of budget cuts and attrition.
When you see the economy losing payroll, losing jobs, that's tough for kids in schools and strong cultural institutions. That's tough for contributions to our nonprofits, volunteers, and our social service organizations.
There are also questions about whether another sector, cruise tourism, will resume this year.
We have three or four legs to this stool or this table that Juneau's economy sits on. And some of them are awfully wobbly, and you don't want any of them shrinking in terms of jobs and people's ability to raise a family and provide for their loved ones.
Keel says it's worrying, but he doesn't believe Juneau is in a downward spiral just yet. He believes there'll be an effort this legislative session to stabilize state government funding. Keel also wants more local hire for seasonal tourism jobs and make sure that prospective public service employees know Juneau is still an attractive place to work and live. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Many high school music students in Southeast Alaska cannot practice or perform together this year due to COVID protocols, but instead of meeting in person, virtual band and choir performances were created for the first time. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
That's the sound of 56 high school band students playing the same song from their own homes. The piece was recorded separately in videos and then mixed all together. They're playing the song Rushmore in honor of the election year. In normal years, top music students from around the region come together for the Southeast Honor Music Festival in the fall. 60 students in band and 60 in choir. They rotate the town, so the festival visits a new community every year. And it's competitive. Students audition through recordings, which are judged by a group of regional music directors. This year was a bit different. It was virtual, with all students performing solo at their own homes, and then the videos were combined. The finished product was released January 21st. It was Matt Lenhard's idea, and he coordinated the event. He's been the music director at Petersburg School District for the past 23 years.
I had the idea because back in August, I took a band conference. Attendees at this conference got to participate in something like this. We had music, we played our part, we put it into a Dropbox, and a company called virtualchoir.net put something together pretty impressive in 24 hours.
Lenhard thought something like this might work for students this year too. Through Zoom conferences with other music directors in the region, he knew this year has been totally different.
Every school in this region had something different going on.
In Petersburg's case, students are in small class pods, so most music classes are not being offered. The only class at the high school is the smaller jazz band, which meets in the morning before school. And there are no music classes at all at the elementary school. The focus has been on the middle school students, who meet in smaller groups. The virtual project included 56 high school band students and 28 choir students. Lenhard says it was more challenging for some schools to participate, depending on their situation.
You know, music programs across Southeast, we're in some tough times with this COVID. If you have a band of 50, you're not meeting together.
For the virtual honors festival, the teachers decided to pick their own students. Lenhard went with veteran musicians, mostly in his jazz band, because he has contact with them. The virtual choir performed a song called Let the River Run. Wearing earbuds, the students sang or played instruments along with a professional recording of the song with a click track, or what are audio cues to stay in sync. Lenhard ended up filling in on a few percussion spots, playing drums and the upright bass. He says the teachers chose music that would be fitting for the unusual school year.
You know, here we are in this pandemic, and what music is about is getting together and working on music and performing it for an audience, and we can't do that. So, you know, some inspiring music to practice, inspiring music when you saw the final product, you'd go, wow. This was worth it. This is worth it.
The Virtual Honors Festival went so well, the music directors are considering something similar for the annual Southeast Alaska High School Music Festival in April, also known as Music Fest. On a normal year, that event can draw around 500 to 600 students from around the region. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Petersburg students who participated in the virtual festival were Sean Spiegelmeier, Bergen Club Painter in choir, and Julian Kumps, Latham Johnson, Rose Quitzland, Leah Kittems, and Lydia Martin in band. And here's some good news. Two Fairbanks area missing persons cases have been solved. According to an Alaska State Trooper dispatch, 17-year-old Jonathan Nakarak, who was reported last seen in May at the Chino Lakes boat launch, was found Wednesday safe and in good health at a Salcha residence. Troopers say Nakarak did not report any suspicious or concerning circumstances. They say they were tipped about his possible whereabouts by a local resident who saw media reports about missing persons and recognized him. In a second case, Fairbanks police report that Casey Smith, who had been reported missing January 9th, was found safe yesterday. Police say they worked with a local store where Smith had shopped to access contact information, which led to her location. But seven other people reported missing in the Fairbanks area since May still remain unaccounted for. This is KTOO News in Juneau.